Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready for their second of four games out in St. Louis. And our hosts Jesse Agler and Randy Jones are getting you all the info, much to their own surprise.
People could really learn something from watching this show. Who knew? I didn't think that was part of the deal. I thought we were purely entertainment. I didn't realize we were infotainment.
Well, you know, every once in a while you get a nugget.
That's it. A blind squirrel, something like that.
With Jesse and Randy on set, we couldn't possibly get any more information about the Padres. Even if we say, I don't know, call our producer's mom.
Hey, Blooper, get your mom on the phone.
Absolutely not.
And yeah, you'd be mortified.
No.
Come on.
No.
And now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. That's Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Hey, that was a fun one last night.
Yes.
In St. Louis. Just a beautiful 3rd of July in San Diego. Weather is absolutely perfect for the holiday weekend. A lot of people off work today. A lot of people out and about. And getting to enjoy some outdoor time, whether you're on the water or in the mountains, wherever you are today, it's a great day to be outside. We're inside at the AMR studio here at Petco Park. Not a bad place to be either.
Not at all.
It's a big league ballpark. It would be even better if there were a game taking place here. The Padres, though, are in St. Louis, where it's probably not this nice outside.
It didn't look that bad last night. I thought it'd be a lot hotter.
Yeah.
You know, nobody looked really uncomfortable.
I saw a lot of the dripping sweat.
Well, yeah, but I mean, sometimes the heat just, index gets high, so high, you know, they almost look cross-eyed. They're starry-eyed.
Yeah.
You know, in that heat.
Yeah.
But everybody looked pretty normal last night. I was pleased.
Early July, probably better than late July or August.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, no doubt about it. So the Padres beat the Cardinals 5-3 in 11 innings. We're going to talk all about that. We got other stuff to get to as well. Yesterday, and this kind of slips a little bit under the radar for some people, but it's still a really big deal in baseball. But yesterday was the
international draft.
Not a draft. The opening of the signing period.
Well, okay.
There isn't a draft, and that's a whole other separate topic that we could talk a lot about. But the international signing period opened yesterday, and the Padres signed several international free agents. And look, these are like 16, 17-year-old kids.
Correct.
So it's really hard to get good detailed scouting reports on them. But there are a couple of guys out there who follow this stuff really, really closely, one of whom is named Jesse Sanchez. And he writes for MLB.com, and he's going to join us coming up in about a half an hour.
Cool.
And he's going to actually be able to tell us something about these kids that the Padres signed, and we'll talk to him about the entire process and whether or not he thinks a draft is something that's coming.
And we're going to learn something today then.
Yes, absolutely.
About some of these young prospects. We talk about a couple of shortstops, some arms, pitching. Always.
Plus a guy with the same first name and last name, Henry Henry, one of the guys they signed,
Padres. I already love that guy.
That's one of the great things ever.
That's great.
Like, your last name is Jones. Imagine if your parents named you Jones.
Jones.
It's a great name. Why don't more people do that?
That's great.
Like,
can't get confused. You can wake up with a hangover and remember your name.
That's it.
First and last.
Hey, what's your first and last name? Oh, that's easy.
Henry Henry.
Huh? Henry Henry. We'll talk to Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com coming up about that at the bottom of the hour. But yesterday was a lot of fun, and yesterday also was the 81st game of the season for the Padres. So that sort of seems like an appropriate time to take a step back and assess things, although I feel like we've been doing a lot of that lately because things haven't been going the way any of us anticipated them to go. But mathematically, we are now halfway through this 2015 season. The Padres are 38-43. Coming into play today, they are 7.5 games out of the lead in the National League West and 5.5 games in back of the wild card spot in the National League. So, 38-43 through 81 games. Not what anybody was hoping for around here.
Were we hoping for 43-38?
I'd have taken it.
You bet.
Yeah.
I would have too.
I would have taken that. So, when the managerial change took place, that was a pretty obvious moment to take a step back and talk about everything that was going on from the big picture. But I don't think that there's any doubt that we know that the Padres got to play much better baseball in the next 81 games if they want to be relevant and hanging around. And in reality, they got to play much better baseball maybe in their next 15 games if they want to be buyers or not sellers. At the trade deadline come the end of this month. And last night, for the 100th time this season or whatever, not mathematically possible, only 81 games, as we just said. But for what felt like the 100th time this season, I walked away from a game saying, maybe that is going to be the one that gets this team going. And it could be. That's the kind of game that could be a springboard game for the Padres. But obviously, that's now up to Andrew Cashner and the other eight guys who are starting tonight.
And you're right. It's up to Andrew Cashner. And they got Walker having a pretty good year.
Yeah.
So they're up against probably, I think, their ace right now. You know, the Cardinals, he's pitching tonight. He's 10-3. And he's been throwing the baseball real well.
So that's the pitching matchup. So let's talk about last night, because it's a fun one to talk about. Do we begin at the end? Is that kind of the place to start?
That's a positive.
Let's do a little Will Venable, and let's not only do Will Venable, let's make Will Venable our Firehouse Subs sub of the game, because
nice.
When you come off the bench to hit a pinch-hit home run in the 11th inning that ends up winning the game, you are quite clearly and obviously the Firehouse Subs sub of the game. So, bottom of the 11th, two outs. Clint Barmas has just doubled. That was, by the way, ruled foul.
Yep.
Nice challenge by Pat Murphy and the boys. So Barmas is on second base. That's the potential go-ahead run with two outs in the top of the 11th inning. And Will Venable steps up, and he requires only one pitch.
One pitch.
That's all he needed, and he smoked it to right center field.
Yeah, and I noticed, I think the ball's carrying a little bit to the right center. You know, not a lot. That wouldn't have made a difference, on either home run. They went to right field. But, what a clutch shot by him, and got the perfect pitch, too. A little breaking ball, kind of backdoor, not down and in, but sped his bat up just enough. That was great.
So, Will Venable is our Firehouse Subs sub of the game. Make sure to check out the new edition of Firehouse Subs here at Petco Park, or visit any of their San Diego locations in Point Loma, Escondido, or Encinitas, all kinds of places around town to check out Firehouse Subs. A huge, huge moment in that game last night for him, and obviously for the Padre team. But, of course, you don't get to that point without a million other things going one way or the other. Tyson Ross, the walks were once again a thing.
Once again.
Last night for him. He was pretty good. He hit a home run. He didn't give up a home run. And he's, by the way, breathing down your neck in the Padre record book. That
really?
Was his 13th consecutive start without allowing a home run. Nope, let me make sure I get that right. His 12th game in a row without allowing a home run. You have the second longest streak in Padre history.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
How about this? I got this from last night. He has not allowed a home run in 12 consecutive starts. You have 14, I'm sorry.
I had 14.
That's second. Dave Roberts in 1971. Not the coach, Dave Roberts, of course. The left-handed pitcher. David Roberts, 15 straight starts. That's the franchise record in 1971. In 1978, Randy, you had 14 consecutive starts without allowing a home run, and Tyson Ross now has 12. So two more starts without allowing a dinger for Tyson, and he ties you for second place.
That's good. That's that's the one thing. The walks kind of concern me, though.
Yeah, no, that's a real thing.
Because he's had four or five walks in, I think, three out of his last four starts.
It's been a theme.
Yeah, and that kind of concerned me because, typically, walks are, they're going to catch up with you. But the one thing is what tells me he's not leaving mistakes over the middle of the plate. That's where usually home runs are generated.
Sure.
So I'll give him that.
Yeah.
He's not giving in to the hitter, and I like that part.
What's the fix for walks, though? I mean, that seems like such an intangible thing almost. It's very easy for us to sit here and be like, throw more strikes. But you start putting the ball in the middle of the zone, and as you said, other things can happen.
It's all about consistency, and it's our art of pitching. And that's why you're number ones. You find, when you watch them, how they pound both sides of the plate. I mean, and they're a little bit more precise. And it's just practice, just work.
Yeah.
There's no substitute for it. In between starts, you got to go on, continue to work on that feel and that release point, the tempo. What does it take to get that pitch to that spot?
Good story a couple of weeks ago on Fangraphs. Eno Saris chatted with Tyson Ross when the team was in San Francisco, and he talked about the walk rate being way up. And one of the takeaways, and look, I don't think he came to any sort of conclusive conclusion, with why the walk rate is up for Tyson Ross. But one of the things that they sort of discovered as they were exploring the topic was that guys are taking a lot more pitches this year against Tyson than they had in the past. In essence, to boil it down, they're laying off the slider.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so we're seeing guys, sort of identifying the slider out of the hand and saying, if he throws it for a strike, good for him. I'm not going to swing at it.
But also what I saw a few four-seamers, running fastballs in on left-handers last night. Great sign. I want to see that.
Okay.
Not just two-seamers. You got to explore that four-seamer, getting on their hands at 92, 93 miles an hour. And then if you want to go back with that slider, it's a completely different look.
Yeah.
So, but I like that idea.
I think that's a good observation as well. And that was something, that they talked about in that article, that he's gotten away from the four-seamer and that it could be something used, to help set everything else
it's
up.
It's very, very effective.
Yeah.
They really can, set that slider up because it's got a little cut to it into a left-hander. And then you back it up with that slider that has a lot more tilt. I think that could be really effective for him. Of course, you got to throw the four-seamer for a strike.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a critical thing, too.
You got to have the control aspect.
That's right.
Of the entire thing.
Back into your repertoire, okay? And the one thing, and I still think the second half, there's still plenty of room for him to come up and use a changeup, a straight change. A lot of times a right-hander, with the seam circle change type thing, the whole idea that changeup is going to move this way, where that slider's always this way. All of a sudden, you got something that moves their eyes a different direction, even if you show it to them.
Yeah.
Jesse, I think that'd be something that really could help him.
So to a right-handed batter, it's kind of coming down by his feet.
Yes.
That changeup as opposed to going away.
That's right.
Like the slider.
Well, you get something like that where you can throw a few of those for strikes, they're going to go, whoa.
Well, it's like tonight's starter, Andrew Cashner, he's been working on the split change, whatever he's calling it.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of that last start.
Yeah, well, we're going to get a lot more of that and talking to Darren Balsey and talk a little bit more about that pitch and Andrew Cashner. I'm kind of excited about that.
We've heard it referred to as a splitter. We've heard it referred to as a split change. Does it matter what we're calling it? How would you describe what he's working on?
I think it's the best description because I know he spread his fingers out a little bit more on the baseball, and all of a sudden now this one's 89, 91, 90, 90 miles an hour, with a little bit of tilt to it, it's sinking a little bit. And that's what I love. Instead of 95, 96 all the time, now you have this in your arsenal. Just keep them off balance. And 5 miles an hour, what a difference that can make.
Oh, huge.
Almost like a BP fastball speed, but it has the movement on it. And so I'm really excited about him having this in his repertoire to change it up. We see him 95, 96, he gives up hits ahead in the count.
Yeah.
This might be the pitch that turns that over, where now he's going to get a lot more ground balls or pop-ups using this third pitch.
I imagine there's somebody sitting at home and thinking to themselves, okay, we're talking about Cashner having a new pitch. We're talking about Tyson potentially adding a new pitch. And they're saying, that seems somewhat desperate. I mean, but isn't that part of the deal as a pitcher? Guys have adjusted to you, you've got to do something new?
Yeah, exactly. You have to make adjustments. I like the idea of Cashner been working on this, something a little different. Oh, we're talking about Tyson Ross. We're talking about him going to a four-seam fastball, what he used his whole career. He fell in love maybe a little bit too much with the two-seamer.
Right.
Now you bring back the four-seamer. And like I mentioned, the next thing is I'm sure that Darren Balsey might be encouraging him to work a little bit more on that changeup just to move their eyes a little bit. And I think it's a great idea. I mean, if he can improve the command, we saw that when he completed the game against the Diamondbacks.
Right.
That's all about command. That was awesome. But, I know how hard it is to duplicate that. I mean, you got to continue to work on that craft. But adding that four-seamer to the repertoire can really, really help him in key spots.
All right. I love talking pitching with you, and it's really interesting to hear your perspective on the thing because, unlike me, you know what you're talking about. And it's fun to kind of hear you break down these different things.
And I do appreciate what they're trying to do. I mean, he's not adding something new. Tyson Ross just, brought his four-seamer out of the – Yeah, archives.
He had it back in the shed.
Yeah.
And he's saying, hey, let's dust this thing off.
Hey, let's dust this off and use it a few. They hit the throw five or six to get in the hitter's head. And they see it and they go, ooh.
Yeah.
With four seamer.
Yeah.
Did you bring in that one out?
Yeah.
Those are the little things you got to put in the back of their mind. And that's the only thing I mentioned, that changeup. If you can just show them a few of those.
Thing to think about.
That's right.
Anybody out there, you play MLB The Show? Okay? No, I know you don't.
No.
Seth, Blooper, he plays MLB The Show, right? Or any baseball video game. And so you're batting, right? And this is the same thing in real baseball, I imagine. And you see on the screen the pitches that the guy has. And if you're facing a reliever and he's got a fastball and a slider, you're thinking to yourself, okay, hey, I got a 1-in-2 chance of guessing what's coming out of this guy's hand.
Right.
But if you add another and then another, it's just one more thing to think about, one more thing to process, and it makes it a little bit more complicated. Same thing, obviously a lot harder in real life than in a video game, but it's the same concept.
The one thing, we'll talk about Cashner probably a little bit later, but he hadn't really had an excellent breaking ball this year, to be honest with you. I haven't seen it. Trying to break it out, but it's just not there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this pitch, a little split fastball, we want to call it. There's that third pitch that he's been needing. So I'm excited for him to have that in his arsenal when he goes out today.
Game of adjustments.
You bet.
This baseball. All right, cool. We're off and running here. Certainly, again, Jesse Sanchez, MLB.com, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk to him about the international signings the Padres have made and the international market in general. The big name went to Toronto. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Vlad's son, was one of the big signings out of the Dominican, and he goes to the Blue Jays, so he'll follow in his dad's Canadian footsteps. So
I want to know about Henry.
Oh, no, we'll ask him about Henry. Yeah. We will certainly learn all about Henry. And as always, remember, you can use the hashtag PadresSH to join the conversation on Twitter. The hashtag is PadresSH. Already, comments coming in about how the show looks today, if you're watching on television, looks a little bit different. Look, we're all about transparency and honesty. There was a major technical meltdown about an hour and a half before we were supposed to go on the air. And Blooper, to his credit, and old Brendan, they came out here and they set up Plan B. And they got us on the air.
Right.
And that's the most important thing. So we're a little bit different today. So we apologize if it looks different to you and if it's jarring at home.
It's good.
But great job by these guys. I mean, when I say they were running around and sweating to make sure that we got on, they were actually running around and sweating. Not that it takes too much to make Blooper sweat.
No.
But great job by these guys, man. Butts
were
off.
You sitting right here watching them?
I kept asking if they wanted help. They told me to stay out of the way. I offered. I felt bad because, yes, I was just sitting here. At one point, I even had the recliner out on the chair.
Really?
Yeah, I was laying back. I said, hey, let me know if you need anything. I might have sipped a lemonade. I don't know. But they said, no, we got it. And they got it. So hopefully we get this thing figured out in the next day or two. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. Come back. Get to your Twitter questions and comments. Also, how about this? Let's talk about umpires some more.
Oh, great.
When we return. Balk and Bob at it again in St. Louis. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Cy Young Award winner Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We are in the AMR studio at Petco Park. Padres are at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, Missouri.
A good start to the road trip, though. Needed that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Could have done it in 9. When you're doing post-game radio, I like 9 innings.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
You know what I mean?
I've been there. Kay. I've been there,
you
done that.
I know you have.
Yeah.
But, hey, win's a win. Loved it.
Yeah, no, you'll take the win in 11 over the loss in 9, certainly.
Well, it, you know, compliment the bullpen 5 innings of shutout baseball.
Let's talk about Sean Kelly for a second,
awesome.
who, by the way, and you'll be seeing this on social media, sure, I'm soon, has some tremendous American flag socks on right now. We just got word from St. Louis. We got a peek at that, so keep your eyes peeled. But Sean Kelly goes 2 innings last night, and I'm one of those guys, and it's not fair, but I'm one of those guys, when a relief pitcher comes out for a second inning, I'm like, oh, God. You know, I start shaking.
Yeah.
And he didn't have, like, a clean first inning of work. And then he comes out, and he throws 10 pitches and strikes out the side in his
good
second
spots.
Inning of work.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. You know, also, he can wear those socks today because probably with 2 innings last night, he's not pitching.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have to worry about getting called.
He can prance around in those socks all night long. Good move by him.
That's probably a good point. He's down today, as they say, one would guess.
I would think.
One would guess. But, yeah, the bullpen, you know, held it together. And, look, Tyson Ross, he had the 5 walks. He had the hit batter, but he kept the Padres in the game. And he hit a home run, for goodness sake.
He
went
oppo.
He went to right.
Yep.
I mean, come on.
I know he won some kind of pool in the starting pitcher pool.
Oh, yeah.
He won something
last
night.
No,
we'll probably never find out.
Yeah.
But I'm going to work on it, you know, after All-Star break.
So what's a better accomplishment so far this season? Is it Tyson Ross going oppo for a solo home run last night in St. Louis, or was it Despaigne's base hit to the right side in Denver?
Oh, Despaigne's base hit was a miracle. Okay. When you're talking about miracles, that'll be, you know, that video's forever.
Right. Okay.
And in the opposite field home run, well, hey, when you're 6'6" and that big, I mean, every once in a while you should, you know, run into something.
All right.
So I like that.
Okay.
You know, that's going to happen again for Tyson Ross.
It's his first.
Yeah.
First major league homer for Tyson Ross.
And
last year it was Kennedy. The year before it was Cashner.
And Despaigne, you know.
He's not going to hit one.
He's
not going to hit one out of
what?
The year. He's not going to have one.
No, I just hate
Shields will do it at some point.
Shields, Cashner can.
Yeah, we've seen that.
You know, but you know, Despaigne? The warning track's not even a threat.
Do you remember the reaction in the dugout at Coors when Despaigne got the base hit?
Yes.
So just imagine if he somehow ever left the yard, what it would look like.
Oh, you have to stop the game. Get the baseball. Give him home plate. Give him everything.
Just, yeah. Like, just completely shut down.
Yeah.
You know how Jackie Robinson's 42 is retired around baseball?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No, but, like, I mean, it would. I genuinely cannot imagine the reaction of the Padres dugout.
Last homestand, I have to be honest with you, I watched our pitchers take BP.
Yeah.
And I watched Espagne with a little bit of intent. It's really bad.
Yeah.
That's really a bad swing.
Shields hit a couple bombs out here.
Yeah, so did Cashner.
Yeah. Those guys, they enjoy that. I was watching it, too.
They feel better.
Yeah. OD, probably not a threat to go.
OD, yeah. He was still punching the ball to right field. Yeah. Everybody else is going yard. He's just trying to hit the ball to right.
Hey, here it is again. I mean, nice pull blooper. You know, the base hit to right field.
So there it is.
I mean, that is on a single in a 9-0 game. I mean, Matt Kemp literally appears to not believe what he has just witnessed.
Well, yeah.
Brandon Morrow's giving him the concert applause. I mean, Kemp actually can't believe what just took place.
Well, yeah, because they know they've seen the hack day in and day out.
So imagine if he goes yard.
What would it look like?
That's what I'm saying. That's the whole operation. So Tyson goes deep, and that allows us to share really one of the great stats of the season, which is that since April 29th of this year, Tyson, which is quite a long ways ago now, since April 29th of this year, Tyson Ross, right, has hit more home runs than he's allowed.
And that's incredible with a rotation that's given up a lot of home runs this year, Jesse.
Right.
And for a guy, not to give up one in 12 straight starts. Unreal.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Do we need to take a break or can I keep going here? Because I would like to talk umpires for a moment.
Yeah.
So – you know how a lot of times this year we've complained when the home plate umpire doesn't ask for help on a check swing? That's been a theme this year. It's come up a few times. Well, Bob Davidson, behind the dish in St. Louis, and by the way, I had a bad feeling because last year, Bob Davidson, behind the dish in St. Louis, he screwed up that play at the plate with Amarista. Remember
right.
when he asked A.J. Pierzynski, hey, did you tag him? Mm-hmm. And it was like a whole disaster. So same guy, same place last night. So I didn't have a great feeling going into it. But to his credit, he asks the first base umpire, hey, did Yonhervis Solarte swing at this pitch? He didn't, but that's neither here nor there. The first base umpire rings him up. Solarte is frustrated. He walks away. Look, he slams his bat. He screams. He throws the helmet down. It's a little bit of a temper tantrum, but it's the third out of the inning. You're not showing anybody up. You're not getting in the guy's face. And the home plate umpire, who Solarte does not have a beef with, ejects him. It was a joke.
Oh, it's Bob's a joke.
It was a joke, man. Like, that's just – let the guy be frustrated. I said the same thing when Matt Kemp got tossed from the dugout last week. It was on a check swing too, by the way. Let a guy be frustrated. Just let a guy have a moment to be, upset.
Oh, that's
there's just... no reason – the inning's over. Life goes on. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, and you saw some. Well, he's got the worst strikes on I've seen in a long time.
Well, that was part two of the conversation.
Oh, my word.
That was part
just
two.
Just a joke.
That was as close to Eric Gregg in the NLCS as I've seen since that happened.
When the umpires went on strike years back and Bob left,
yeah,
they should have let him.
Yeah.
I don't understand. They brought him back. And I shook my head then and hadn't changed one bit.
Let a guy be upset. That's me. As an umpire. Let a guy be frustrated. Let a guy be upset. Now, if he's going to show you up, if he's going to get in your face, that kind of thing, I get it. You're going to toss him. But if a guy for a third out of an inning is frustrated and he's going to throw his helmet down in his bat, let it go. If he could.
He wasn't even talking to Bob.
That's the other
Davidson.
Thing. First base umpire. That's
who
might
have been squawking
about.
Him a little bit, but you don't get kicked up for slamming your helmet down.
You'll see it 100 times.
That's ridiculous.
Over the course of a season, and guys don't get tossed.
Well, who was the left hander? I think it was one of the Cardinal hitters.
A couple innings later, same thing.
And he squawked and he slammed his helmet down.
Nothing.
But you know where Bob was? Following him up the first baseline.
Yeah.
Not professionally walking up the third baseline. He was following him to see if he's going to say something else.
Wanted him to say something.
Yeah, so he can throw him out.
Total joke.
Idiot.
Total joke.
Yeah.
It was rough. And then there was the strike zone, which, if you didn't watch the game last night, it was legitimately – and. There was some consistency to it, at least. I guess you give him credit. Because all night, you go 3-4 inches off the plate, you were getting the call. Most of the time, at least.
Or down,
right
below the kneecap.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you got to pound it there and stay there.
The outside ones. I mean, Tyson took advantage of it, and the relievers. And, I mean, Kimbrel got it. Everybody did. You don't often, in today's day and age, see a strike zone that's that wide. You just don't.
I'll say one thing, though. Even all umpires, even in my day, and it was a little bit easier because we had National League umpires, and we'd see the same umpires again and again and again, which I'm in favor of, by the way. I like that idea. I want an umpire to have, you know, the tendencies of a starting pitcher.
You think they're spread too thin?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make 34 starts and only have 34 different umpires behind home plate.
Sure.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's a fair point. And, again, you get rid of interleague play, and then you can once again split the umpires up.
Thank you.
And someone would
say, I would love that, because if you know your umpire, what his tendencies are,
right?
I mean, does it affect the way you pitch? You bet it does.
Oh, of course.
You better have the ability to, okay, I've got this guy behind the plate.
It's part of the scouting report.
He's going to hit the ball below the knee. You're going to go find out how low can I go, or can I go off the plate? You know, you get a little bit of feel. You go a little bit, and he calls a strike. You go a little bit more. He calls it a ball, then you move it back in. And that's literally what you have to do. That's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everybody was a little bit different.
With the technology today, it becomes so much more frustrating because you can see on Fox Tracks, you know, oh, pitch three is called a strike, and then pitch four lands on top of pitch three or maybe even closer to the plate, and then it's a ball. And that's the one that drives you crazy, and we've seen plenty of that as well. The technology has made it really, really difficult on the umpires.
I threw a great pitch, Doug Harvey, behind the plate, you know.
Was he your neighbor, by the way? Did I hear you say that the other day?
It was Ted Leitner's neighbor.
Ted Leitner's neighbor, that's who it was.
And,
I had no idea.
Doug was a great umpire. He got to hide him behind the plate, threw the perfect little sinker ball around the outside black. And I kind of looked down, you know, yelled, you know, and he heard me. I didn't want to show him up, but I always did that. And I looked up at him, and he went like this. I missed by like a half an inch. And I looked at him and said, you got to be kidding me. And I threw the next pitch, and I swore in the same spot, and he called it a strike.
Yeah.
You know, I just looked up and grinned at him, like, you're killing me.
Yeah. But did you feel like you earned that call after giving him a hard time?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. No. It's amazing. Robot umpires, baby. That's all I got to say about balls and strikes. It's just too hard. It's just too hard of a thing. And if we can all see at home.
I don't want that. You better make that a sturdy robot.
It doesn't have to be a physical robot. We've been over this. It's just a sensor, and then the green light or the red light goes off.
Well, you got to have a robot, because if I get ticked at it, I pitch.
There's still going to be a guy back there. He's just not going to be responsible for balls and strikes. It'll be automated. He may signal ball or strike.
I'd like to see a 97-mile-hour fastball hit a robot. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, no, it would be fun. It would be fun. All right, we'll take a break, come back, change gears a little bit, talk about some of the international signings that the Padres made yesterday and that some of the other teams made as well. Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com will join us. Hey, you know all about Beer Fest at Petco Park. Well, how about this? You can shake, stir, and sip at the upcoming Cocktail Fest. And it is on Friday, July 17th. Happy hour cocktails in the sun before the Padres and the Rockies. It's a 7:10 first pitch, but the mixing starts at 4:30 p.m. out at the park at the park. So get your tickets at Padres.com/party. Padres.com/party. Having some fun here with RJ on a Friday. Take a break, come back, talk international signings with Jesse Sanchez. This is Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. I love doing the show here from the Western Metal Building. You never know who you're going to run into. I got some guys that were just on the tour.
Yeah.
Here at Petco Park. They got a rugby ball, and they're from Leeds. England, Leeds United. Are you football fans? Football, soccer, you know. Always.
Yeah.
I'm an Everton fan.
BYOB, bring your own ball.
Bring your own ball. Yeah, they're running around on the pitch. They saw the pitch on the tour.
He's got that great big one. I've got the real one right here.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a very big difference. Can we have the rugby ball for a moment? Blooper, can you facilitate that? Can we borrow that for a second? We'll give it back, I swear. So, I mean, it really is incredible, right? Sports of the world. So you've got a baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible, right? I mean, just look at the difference in that.
That's scary.
It's like an overinflated American football. That's what I would say that's like, the rugby ball. This is cool.
Nice.
It's got the texture of a basketball. I didn't really notice that before. I never knew that.
I never knew that either.
I figured it was more like an American football, but it kind of feels like a basketball.
Well, I think for rugby, I'd like this kind of grip on the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're banging each other, whacking each other.
Yeah.
So I'd like something. I want a little grip to it so I can grab onto it and hold on to it.
Very cool. No, it doesn't have laces, so it's different. It's different than throwing
it like a football, though.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, you got that backward spiral from the lefty.
Of course, I turned it over.
Yeah, yeah. all right, we got some tweets coming in. We're still trying to track down Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com as well. On Twitter, you can join the conversation using the hashtag PadresSH. Thanks to our friends from Leeds.
Yeah.
Our mates.
That's awesome.
As they might say. Let's do some tweets here. Blooper, what do you say? We start with Zach, and he's got something to say about you. He says, "Hey, Randy is a great guest, but when is the backpack going to be on the show again?" Hopefully never.
Well,
hopefully never.
All I have to do is forget, you know.
The next time Randy
forgets to
show up.
Give me a couple more years, and I'm sure they're going to, you know, get, you know, it might be back.
I like that people remember the backpack so fondly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected
You know what?
That
personally, I enjoyed that show.
I'm glad you did. I'm very happy for you.
I mean, I was home watching it.
Yeah, I know. You had your feet up on the couch.
I wasn't supposed to be, but I certainly enjoyed it.
No, I'm glad you did.
I thought the backpack did a great job.
The backpack did a very fine job, but he's no Randy Jones. He's no Randy Jones. Doug on Twitter, we were talking about Solarte getting ejected, and I saw this from some people last night. He says he did say the A word out loud. You're absolutely right. He did say the A word. But he had already been ejected when that happened. If you go back and listen to it, and I did.
I don't care if he used the word before his ejection. He never looked at Bob.
Yeah. He was just being frustrated.
He was just frustrated.
But for the sake of accuracy, and I legitimately and genuinely went back and watched several times, you can hear Mudd start to say he's been ejected before you can read his lips and that particular term came out of his mouth. So he was tossed before that.
I would have said more than that.
Yeah, I mean, at that point,
that'd
you could say everything.
Nothing.
That'd
have been a bunt. You know, if I'd have got ejected for doing that,
yeah,
I'd have got my money's worth.
Yeah. Well, that was it. He had that look of disbelief on Solarte's face. He's like, come on. It was a joke. You don't throw a guy out in that situation. You just don't. You just don't. We didn't even talk about Solarte's homer earlier in the night.
Yeah, I know.
That was a shot.
That was a bullet.
He's hitting the ball nicely. He's hitting the ball really nicely. Lineup is going to be a big conversation point today for the Padres because they've mixed it up once again. And Yonder Alonso tonight will become the eighth different Padre to lead off. How about that?
First time in
his big league career.
I like the idea. Doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, you look at him, he's hitting .310. Nobody's swinging the bat better from the left side. You want to load it up with left-handers. Mm-hmm. And Pat Murphy trying to find, you know, that winning configuration of a lineup. I like it. You know, keep juggling it up until you get the right one, Pat.
He's hitting well. And why not?
And why not? He's you know, on base percentage is good, you know, and everything will change hopefully by August. We'll get Will Myers back.
Right.
Hopefully he can get back into form and solidify the, you know, the top of the lineup. That would be great.
There's somebody at home saying, but he's slow. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Doesn't matter. Who else, if you had a prototypical leadoff guy, if you had Ricky Henderson or you had D. Gordon, you know, in Miami now, yeah, you're right. You don't lead off a guy like Yonder Alonso. But the Padres don't have a prototypical leadoff guy. Melvin Upton, but you're just not at the point where you can play Melvin Upton every day.
You can't play him every day. He's got to swing the bat, but he can't steal first.
Right.
And that's the one thing Yonder does. He gets on base.
That's it. So you don't have a traditional leadoff guy, whatever. These aren't the 85 Cardinals running around out there. You know, I mean, you're not going to have a bunch of guys stealing 60, 70, 80 bases. That's just not the way the game is played right now. And it's certainly not the way that this Padre roster is constructed.
And look at the highlights. We had 10 guys in scoring position last night.
Yeah.
In the last 3 days, we didn't have. We might have had a total of 10 for three games.
Yeah.
And it was 0 for 10 in those three. So that's a good indication. Guys are getting back on base, making some things happen. That's positive.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got a good lineup question that came in from Cody. We'll get to that in a little bit. When we return, though, try and track down Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com. Talk to him about the international signing period, which opened up yesterday. Hey, you want to be here at Petco Park for baseball night in San Diego on the 18th, just about 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from tomorrow, because all fans in attendance will receive a genuine Petco Park replica presented by Fanatics Authentic. Get your tickets to see the Padres face the Rockies at 5:40 at Padres.com/BNISD. Padres.com/BNISD. Take a break, come back, talk about some international signings and also more questions about the Padre lineup. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Comic-Con is coming up here in San Diego.
Yeah.
Blooper's feeling very confident, about getting some Comic-Con-related guests
like Superman
on the show. Right, but I said, "What do we have? You in center here one day. You dress up like Batman.
I'll be Batman. He can be Robin.
I've got a great visual in my head.
Me too. That's a bad visual.
That's a bad visual.
Him dressed like Robin.
Oh my goodness. Get a big old Robin.
That
costume.
Is hilarious.
Hey, let's fire up the old Cholula hotline and welcome in Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com. He does such a good job covering international baseball. You can follow him on Twitter at Jesse Sanchez MLB. Hey, man, appreciate the time. Appreciate you joining us on the holiday weekend. But obviously, it's a busy couple of days. That signing period opens yesterday. And let's begin with the Padres. Is there a place to start maybe with the signings the Padres have made or are about to make, you think, as far as these names are concerned?
You know, we can go through the list in a minute, but I think what you're seeing there in San Diego is pretty consistent with what was happening in Texas years before with A.J. Preller as the international director, as his assistant GM there, Chris Kemp, who's now their international director for the Padres. What they're doing is pretty similar. They're going after good talent in Latin America, Dominican Republic, Venezuela. What's a little bit different that I've noticed this year, where in Texas they went after the big-ticket items, $1 million player, $2 million player, $3 million player. Here with the Padres is a different approach. They're kind of looking for the same type of talent, but great deals. And they were able to do that by getting some good shortstops out of Venezuela, getting a top pitcher out of Mexico. There's always going to be minor deals coming out of the Dominican Republic. I mean, I'm not surprised at all when I look at the list of what the Padres signed, a guy named Kevin Melian from Venezuela, right-handed pitcher with maybe the best name in the entire international class, Henry. You know, Jose Cabrera, he's another good guy. I mean, if you go up and down this list, you can go to Padres.com and see everybody that they signed and the amount of money they signed. Most expensive one was $500,000, which is still obviously a lot of money. But, you know, I think the Padres should be pretty pleased. I think everybody from afar is looking at the Padres and saying, well, they're not surprised. You know, they Preller's from Texas. That's what they did in Texas. He has a couple same philosophies. Scouts with them, and I think they just anticipate them being really successful there.
Let me ask you a question. When you talk about, you know, the sort of the price range here as compared to Texas, how much, if any, do you think a part of that is sort of gearing up for next year when, as we know, because the rules governing how much teams can sign, you know, these guys for over the course of a given year, next year there's going to be a lot of teams that really aren't able to be players.
Right, and that's exactly right. What it comes down to is if each team has a certain amount of a pool money they can play with or spend, and once you go over that pool, you're penalized. And the maximum penalty is going 15% or higher over. And what that means is you're taxed for the overage of that pool, and also you cannot spend more than $300,000 per player. So as we look at it now, there are several teams that have gone over that maximum limit. And so that eliminates the playing field, so that can – means the Padres could be bigger players next year when more teams are eliminated. So, it's a pretty interesting concept. I think the Padres made some good signs. It's pretty consistent with what, you know, the Preller did, and, you know, I don't think anybody's surprised.
And, Jesse, a lot of these are kids, right? These are pretty young kids that they're drafting right now.
Right. These are 16-year-old kids, and, you know, there's a lot of risk there. You know, I mean, it's hard to project what an 18-year-old kid's going to do. It's hard to project with a 20-year-old kid in Double A. How good is he going to be on the next level? And just you kind of amplify that and imagine the trying to project a kid at 16 years old or 17 years old. I mean, there's a lot of dreaming that goes involved. But what evaluators see, they spend a lot of time watching them in showcases. They watch their tools, their arm, their wheels, how fast they can throw. Those types of, you know, the regular tools, and what is happening now in Latin America is there is a development of these leagues. There's a Major League Baseball has a league down there. There's a league called the Dominican Prospect League, another league called the International Prospect League. And what you're seeing now is scouts are able to evaluate these kids in games. You know, no longer is it just, you know, a showcase on a Saturday or on a Thursday where they're just hitting BP. Now these guys are competing against each other in games, and it's pretty telling. You know, people are separating themselves. You know, the guys with the tools and who are some game ready, have some game skill, are separating themselves from the guy who's are not are just tools. if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, but I would assume they sign these guys, and you know, it sounds to me at 16 years old, they're going to stay where they're at or have a central location, maybe down in the Dominican, where, you know, where they're going to play there and start developing there before they see the U.S. and like rookie ball or even extended spring training ball in Pierre, Arizona. They might be a couple of years away from that even.
At least. I was down there, I think it was 2006 or 2007, it's hard to recall, when the Padres opened up their brand-new facility in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if you guys have been there, but that place is beautiful. It's like a resort. It's so nice. It's crazy nice. But what happens is they sign him at 16 years old, and they'll – the people who are really good – I mean, there will be a couple players who at 17 years old are ready to go to the United States and start, you know, playing in – rookie ball or, you know, even high or low, you know, A ball. But for the most part, these guys will stay in the academy for a couple of years, get instruction every day. At 18 or so, they'll decide, and it's a tough call organizations have to make. Are we going to send these guys to the United States? Are they ready? Or is it, you know, are we going to release them?
Wow.
So that's why, I mean, it's a pretty big risk. I mean, there's a big investment in these guys' success. I mean, if you're looking up and down the lineup, and we have a list on MLB.com of the players who signed, and, you know, these guys are signing for millions of dollars. So it's tough 2 years from now to say, hey, thanks for coming out. Good luck with that $1.5 million we gave you, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot invested in these kids, and they really want them to succeed. So they're getting all the instruction. Hopefully in a couple of years they're going to make it to the United States and, you know, start their minor league career.
Jesse Sanchez covers international baseball expertly for MLB.com. He's on Twitter at Jesse Sanchez MLB. We appreciate some of the insight, man. Thanks so much, and enjoy the holiday weekend.
Thanks, Jesse.
My pleasure.
All right, Jesse Sanchez of MLB.com on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. He's talking about that academy down in the Dominican, by the way. A.J. Preller, I think he was joking. Maybe he was half joking earlier this year. He said it might even be two nights. Tuna, you don't want the guys to be that
well, comfortable. Well, it might be now.
Yeah, something.
You know, I mean, you soften them up a little bit if it's too nice. Yeah. Come on.
All right. Hey, are you looking for paradise? Who's not, really? Who's looking for paradise? Well, Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothie. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park at the Park, or the Mercado. They're also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. We'll take a break. Come back. More Twitter right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
All right, welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Oh, just about 20 minutes away now from first pitch in St. Lou.
Let's play Andrew, ball, man.
Andrew Cashner and Michael Waka Waka. They call him Fozzie Bear. No, really. You're Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. A couple of tweets that came in. We had the guys from Leeds, England here earlier. They had the rugby ball.
Nice.
And I said, hey, it's like an overinflated American football. Eddie says, hey, I guess Tom Brady wouldn't like that ball. Hey-oh. Mm. He's got Deflategate jokes. Cody. We were talking about lineups and all the different leadoff hitters, that kind of stuff. Cody says, can Melvin Upton still play second base? I know he played that position in Tampa Bay. Yeah, he played some shortstop and some second base earlier in his career. I get the sense if that were on the table, we would have seen it by now.
Yeah.
That's me.
He's impressive in center field.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody better. Him and Venable are our best two defensive outfielders. But, hey, you know, it's all about on-base percentage and getting on base.
With Will Myers hurt, you're not trying to sandwich anybody in anywhere right now. You've got to kind of
figure it out. It's not like we need Melvin's bat at second base right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap up. How about that? Wrap up.
Already?
This is July 3rd Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. How about a couple of old friend alerts? Clayton Richard traded today from the Pittsburgh organization to the Chicago Cubs for cash considerations, and the Cubs announced he is going to start tomorrow against Miami. He has not appeared in the big leagues in over 2 years.
Wow.
June of 2013. How about a cruel irony? You ready? to make room on the 25-man roster for Clayton Richard,
right.
The Cubs designated Don Roach for assignment.
Oh, man.
So he gets sent down to AAA. Or they, you know, I don't know if they optioned him or DFA, whatever. But so Don Roach, another old friend, gets bumped off the big league roster in Chicago to make room for Clayton Richard.
Well, it's good to see Don still getting opportunities, but when he's getting to that level, he's not getting it done.
Yeah.
With, you know, when he didn't with the Cubs and get a lot of ability, but hey, you got to get it done when you get that opportunity.
That's it. And you know who got it done today? Blooper got it done today.
Good job, Blooper.
All kinds of technical issues, and he somehow made this thing happen at least a little bit.
So you might say he was on the Cholula hot seat before we came on.
And he survived it.
Good job.
He sort of thrived on it. Hey, we're on tomorrow real early, 9:30 in the morning. We'll talk to you then.